This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Raise Your Game, and my name is Tasha Fusil. Raymond Gabriel is with us for the second episode of our monthly series, Building Financial Intelligence. Raymond is the author of Money Quotient, and he's also the executive director of People Systems Consultancy. The aim of our series this month is to prepare those who have careers or are aspiring entrepreneurs, to prepare them with some financial intelligence. Because as we all know, managing our money well is a huge component of what it takes to succeed both personally and professionally. So before we get into this week's topic, which is investment, Raymond, can you give us a recap of what we spoke about in the last session?
In the last session, we talked about debt and managing debt, which is very related to what we're talking about today, which is investments. Because if you have a lot of debt, you don't have a lot of savings. You don't have a lot of savings, you don't have capital. You don't have capital, you can't make investments and you can't get wealthy.
Oh dear.
You know, so I think it's flowing quite well.
Okay, so what are some common mistakes that people make when it comes to investments?
One of the real dangers is having a herd mentality. A lot of people go into investments because their friends tell them it's good, or they heard something, or they read something. So everybody's rushing into one investment without really finding out what the investment is about. They don't understand the investment. They don't even understand how the system works. Having a herd mentality is a very dangerous thing. As an investor, you need to know what you are investing your hard-earned money in. It's your hard-earned money. You know, you worked hard for it, you saved it, you put it aside. And you can't be relying on somebody else giving you that information. The other thing is that happens is some common mistakes that people make. They don't do research. You know, I've read that millionaires always know what they're investing in and they want to find out how it generates money. There's been a lot of scams recently that we are reading about. And most of the time, these people who get into these scams, they're getting into these scams because their friends told them it's good and they're talking about how much money they're making, which is a common trait of a scam. But you need to know how the investment is generating money. You know, I'm not saying that you have to stick to traditional things like property, shares and unit trusts. And of course, those things are safer because those are common things. And if you work with good financial institutions, chances are, you know, you get good returns and reasonable returns. But a lot of people, what happens with them is they begin to get excited about returns without understanding the fundamentals. Fundamentals are how does the investment generate a return for you? You need to know how it works and make the people who are selling you that investment explain it to you until you understand. It's your right. You know, before you make, it's your hard-earned cash, you need to know how it works before you put in your money. The third thing that happens all the time is greed. If you're looking for very high returns, unreasonable returns, chances are you might have a little bit of greed and you need to deal with it. You know, there's no such thing as someone investing and becoming a millionaire in 2 weeks. It's not possible. You know, you've got to follow through, you've got to grow your capital, invest, sell, you know, keep your capital, invest and sell again. We talked about economic cycles, I think, the last show. So you got to understand those things and when to go in, when to come out. Another important point is if you are making investments, you need to understand your risk profile. And there's a section in my book that actually you can do a simple test to find out what your risk profile is. Because if you are a person who cannot take a lot of risks and you're following others who do, you're going to get a heart attack pretty fast. Sure. And you might get panicky. You might, you know, sell that investment before time because you're nervous and then you lose out. So you got to understand your risk profile because that tells you what you can invest in and what you can't.
Okay.
Actually, these are some things that you need to know before you get into investments, I think.
Okay, so risk profiling is something you should think about before you even consider what kind of investment to make.
That's right. And risk depends on two things. One is the amount of capital you have, how you're using it, and your age. I think if you're younger, you don't have to take a lot of risks because you have a lot of time to get to achieve your financial goals. If you have a shorter time span, you might need to take a little bit more risk. When I say risk, I don't mean getting involved in scams. I mean taking investments which has got a higher risk but also a higher return. It's an educated investment. That's what I mean. You know, so you can look at those things. Now, I also advocate don't invest what you can't afford to lose. For example, you hear from your friend that there's a good investment in this particular area and it's giving you huge returns. You don't know it, you put all your money in it and you get burnt. That's it, you're back at zero, you have to start all over again. You know, so it's good to apportion certain amounts. It's good to also test investments before you go all in. I think these are common things that people should know.
How do you test an investment?
Let's say, for example, someone tells you, okay, this is a very good tip I have. You know, you can put 10,000 into this investment. And what you've done is you've saved up 20,000 for capital, let's say. Okay. Now, 10,000 is 50% of what you've saved up. I wouldn't go in with, and I wouldn't advocate that. Maybe you should go in with like 500 ringgit and see whether it actually gives you a return. Understand the system, you know, see whether it works. See whether what people are selling you actually gives you a return. And then move on to bigger amounts gradually. You know, don't go all in, because that's also a sign of greed and can get you into trouble as well.
For myself anyway, and from my peers, I feel like a lot of people don't want to think too much about their investments. They want to make an investment, leave it, and just sort of like come back to it at the end of the year and look at the returns. When you're doing things like testing an investment, you've got to be present for every process and be willing to put in the time and the effort to see which works and which doesn't.
Definitely. You got to think of your finances as your first business, okay? There's no business that will be successful if the owner of the business doesn't give it attention. You know, so if finances are your first business, you got to give it attention. There's a very good book besides mine that I've read. It's called The Millionaire Next Door. And they talk about traits that millionaires have. And some common traits are that they spend at least 8 hours a month managing their finance. You know, most of them are average wage earners. They earn about 75,000 US a year. They make lifestyle choices, like they buy secondhand cars or whatever. But the thing that interested me the most is they don't invest in anything they don't know. And they manage their investments themselves. They don't give it to somebody else to manage it for them. They think of their, to paraphrase it in my own words, you know, and what I picked up is that they manage their money like their own business.
Raymond Gabriel, author of Money Quotient, here with us to talk about investment in the second installment of our Building Financial Intelligence series. And when we come back, Raymond will talk to us about how to spot a scam and also whether anyone can become a millionaire even on just an average salary. This is Radio Game on BFM 89.9.
Build fortunes modestly. BFM 89.9.
Raise Your Game. Good morning. My name is Tasha Fusil and Raymond Gabriel is with us today. He's the author of Money Quotient and he's going to be with us every Wednesday for the month of November to elaborate on some of the principles and practices in his book, which we've made into a series called Building Financial Intelligence. Just before, we talked about some of the common mistakes people make when it comes to investments. What are dangers to avoid? We've talked about the mistakes. What are the pitfalls that we should be looking out for with investments?
Can I handle that question in things that you should do?
Sure.
I think you need to look at planning your entry and your exit. You have to decide before that investment, what's the percentage of money you want to make? You can't go into an investment and just wait and see and keep holding on and thinking it's going to go up higher. So if you say, for example, I want to invest in shares and I want to make a 30% return. As soon as you make that 30% return, doesn't matter whether it's going up or down, you know, or especially if it's going up, you sell it anyway. You don't wait and you follow everybody else and everybody else is telling you, no, you should hold on, because it can crash the next. So a lot of people, they hold on hoping that it keeps going higher and higher and they get into trouble because of that. So plan your exit and entry. When am I going in? When is the right time to go in? And when is the right time to get out? When I talk about going in, you need to study that investment to know its peaks and its lows. That means, what was the highest point of that investment? And if that point where you want to invest is near that highest point, that's not the time for you to go in. You should look at when it was low and what were the low amounts and plan for a time where it's going to go down low again. It doesn't have to be a recession. It could be just a period where you're keeping an eye on it, you're holding on to your cash and you know when to go in. Let's use that example of the share market again. You know, I wouldn't go in when a share is at its highest price. Most shares, they have a 1 year cycle. They will track their highs and lows they call it a 52 week sort of cycle. So you know what's the highest point, you know what's the lowest point, you know. And you would want to buy closer to the lowest point, not to the highest point. You should also ask the question, how much are you willing to lose? Because investments do come with risks. And what point do you want to cut your losses? You know, when do you want to exit an investment as well? If things are not working out, is a 20% loss enough? And when you reach that, that's your risk tolerance. And that's when you're coming out. Or are you going to continue waiting and you can hold it on for a long time? If you're taking very risky investments, I advocate not putting a lot of your money and your savings into it, but putting just a small portion. Because it's risky. You don't want to lose everything and your hard-earned capital and your cash as well. You also need to look at and plan for what could go wrong in that investment. What are the potential things that can happen? Because you don't want to be caught unawares and then you don't know what to do and you're selling under panic or whatever. So you need to know, if this happens, what am I going to do? Start planning for eventualities that, you know, things might not work out or it might go through a slow period before it goes up. Do not go into investments with too much optimism. Go in as a realist. Study market trends and get good returns that everybody else gets as well. I think that's how you avoid bad investments.
How can we then, you know, so many ways that we can invest money, how do you spot a good investment from a bad investment, or even worse, a scam?
People always ask me, what should they invest in? I cannot answer that question for you, and I should not. Because, for example, if I say that this share is a good investment, for me, my risk tolerance is higher. So I'm willing to get into that investment. And if I lose, let's say, a couple of thousand ringgit, it's okay for me. But for someone else that's investing and starting off with moderate amount of capital, a 3,000 ringgit might be a big blow. It might be 30% of what that person saved. So it's important for you to find out what are things that you are comfortable with, that you feel are good investments for you. And to also understand that you are at different levels. You know, you can't be following everybody who gives you advice, because for them, if they make an investment, they lose 10,000. Oh, okay, I've got 90,000 more in other things, or I got 1 million ringgit more in something else. But for you, that might be the only capital that you have. So you need to be wise. You need to know what's safe for you and what decisions you're making, you know, in relation to the amount of money that you have. A big part of it is your risk tolerance, something that we talked about earlier. What do you have the risk tolerance for? What risk can you afford to take as well? If I lose that money, can I survive? Do I have extra capital that I can recuperate and make other investments with? Those are important questions for you to ask.
Some people talk a really good game, and it's very easy to be swayed by that good talk.
Yeah. That's right.
So how do you tell when someone is being sincere or not?
I think you have to go back to fundamentals. The major fundamental when it comes to investment is, how does it work? How does that investment generate that return for me? And, you know, don't be worried about looking foolish or, you know, feeling stupid because you're asking questions and you're letting people know you don't understand.
Right.
It's better that you do that, you know. Yeah. If you don't understand it, ask. Get them to explain it to you. And if you're not satisfied with the answer, you have got some warning bells going off, keep asking questions, you know. You can spot scams, you know, from certain things. One thing that you would know is, most people who are involved in scams keep talking about the major returns you can get. They don't explain to you how they get the returns. They don't tell you how those returns are generated, or they give you a very surface-based answer. And when you want to dig deeper and when you want to probe, they deflect it and they keep saying, no need to ask so many questions, you know, you're going to get this 12% a month, you know, so why not just keep investing in this, you know, think about the return, think about the money, don't think about, you know, how you make that money, you know, that's not important, it's very technical, I can't explain it to you. Those are things you have to be worried about. Other things about scams, you need to look at disproportionate returns. That means returns which are too good to be true. Anything that's promising you something which is above 3% or above 6% a year, 8% a year, you need to look at the fundamentals as well. How are they generating it? You know, is it really true that you're getting that money? Is it really true that they are generating that money and returning it to you? Or is it a Ponzi scheme? You know, a Ponzi scheme is where you use other people's cash to pay off earlier investors, and you keep playing that game and accumulating a certain amount and disappear with that amount when the fund size reaches a certain amount. You know, so you got to be careful of that what they're doing. Also, if they are new entities and they are in investments and they are promising things and you haven't heard of them before, they're not a bank, they're not a reputable financial institution, you need to dig deeper. You need to know who's behind it, what they're doing. I've had people who come and ask me for advice recently on a company. And that company claimed that it was in association with banks and they had arrangements. And this friend of mine, I was worried for him. So I actually called the bank and I checked, are you working with these people? I called the other companies and I found out that they were not working with them. You know, so it's just simple. You know, do research, Google, find out, call. If these people say that they are partnership with a bank, they are representing a bank, call the bank, find out, verify your facts before you go in. You know, so these are ways that you can be safe and avoid dangers and avoid scams, I think.
Got $1 million question here, literally. Can anyone become a millionaire even on an average salary?
I believe so. And there are many cases where it's been proven. And if you take, for example, an example that I gave in a book, it's a real example of someone who was earning about 2,000 ringgit a month, who became a property millionaire, owning about 3 million ringgit worth of property. When I say actually owning, that means in 20 years he's paid it off. And how he worked it, how he understood the economic cycles and made very good fundamental investments. It's possible. But the key to do this is the fact that you need to be saving at least 20 to 30% of your income, putting it aside, investing it in the right places. If you're the type of person who's earning 2,000 and you're spending 2,100 ringgit because, you know, you've got extra expenses every month, you're not going to get wealthy. It's a pie in the sky dream.
Right.
So wealth has got to be a goal which you adjust your lifestyle to achieve.
Yeah, I mean, for someone who doesn't know anything, as you said before, it's about doing the research and the risk profiling, because you might have the capital or you might have accumulated your savings. You just feel so nervous to part with that money.
Yes, I think that research is an important thing. Understanding what you can do, having a sort of a goal. Okay, let's say, for example, you are someone now earning 2,000 ringgit and in 10 years' time you want to be a millionaire. Then you got to look at different ways to do it. You know, you can even invest in a business. You can put aside money, invest in a business to grow your capital. You don't have to actually look at just investments alone. That business can generate extra cash, which you can use as capital. Don't change your lifestyle, by the way. Live as if you're still earning that 2,000 ringgit, but you maybe got another 3,000 coming in. Keep saving that money, investing that money, looking for ways to multiply it. And in 10 years, you'll be there. It's very, very possible. It's achievable to get there. You know, it's not only shares or unit trusts or land. Businesses are very good investments as well.
Yeah, okay. And I think that's becoming more of a common practice. What advice do you have for someone who is looking to invest in business? What are sort of the things that you should look out for?
I think you've got to invest in what you understand. It's a very complex business, let's say an oil and gas business, which you have no level of understanding in. You don't understand how it works. You don't understand how the system works and how you get contracts. And there's no point putting money into things that you don't understand. You know, even with people close to you, if you're going to invest with anyone, be it a stranger or be it a family member or starting off something, I think you need to understand how that business works, what are other businesses doing within that industry, who are the top players, you know, are you able to get contracts, how long will it take you to get contracts, how long do you have to weather the storm, you know, because you don't get returns on business that fast sometimes. So how long do you need to wait before you get an investment in that field? And you need to understand what you're doing, because chances are you will have to advise the people that you're working with as well. You can't be like a silent partner just giving money and just hoping things would work. You know,
right.
That's not financially prudent.
Finally, how would you advocate young children to start investing early?
I would buy, let's say, for example, I'll give you an example of shares. Okay, I would buy shares and I would explain to my daughter. I've started doing that. She's 7 now, but I started earlier, and I advise her because she knows I run a business. And I explained to her a business has got shares, okay? So if you buy shares, you're buying an ownership into that company, and that the share market is full of businesses that you can buy, provided, like Warren Buffett says, you like the business. So you buy businesses that you like. And so you discuss with them, what are things that you like? You know, okay, let's say, for example, they like toys. Do you want to buy a toy company? Mattel is there. You don't have to buy shares just in Malaysia. You can buy it overseas as well. And then you have ownership, part ownership of that share. And it's important for you to spend time tracking that investment every week with them, at least. If you don't have time to do it every day, I mean, at least once a week. Okay, this is the share price now. Should we sell it or should we wait a bit more? We talked about 20%. Work out the calculation with them. When you sell it, then you actually give them the return. They must invest their savings with you, you know, in the beginning. So they get back the portion of what they invested. Get them excited.
Okay.
You know, even if it's 100 ringgit, you know, and you're buying a $2,000 share, it gets them financially savvy and getting them to understand that, look, if I invest money, if I save money and I invest it, I actually get more money. And that's the lesson you want to leave with your kids.
Right. Okay, that's interesting. Raymond, thank you so much for being here with us again. Join us next week because we'll be talking about something quite important and something that I'm struggling with as we speak, and that is budgeting. So thanks for listening. This has been Razor Game on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.